Hi, everyone, and welcome to The Bag Room. I'm Ryan Ballengy. It's great to have you here with us. For today's conversation, I am joined by Mason Dennison from Adidas and their golf division. He is the global footwear director for them. We've known each other for years, been at different functions and unveilings of shoes, and had some great conversations. But wanted to talk to him about the 2023 line, particularly some new developments in having Ultra Boost introduced to golf footwear for the first time, a little bit about the ZG23 golf shoe, which has been popular in its early days of release, and just kind of talking about all kinds of different things, footwear, and the dynamic between Adi, Big Adi, Adi Golf, and some of their suppliers, including BOA. So I hope you enjoy this conversation. Mason, thanks so much for being with us. I really appreciate it. Ultra Boost. I have Ultra Boost shoes. I really love them. And then to see the announcement, and then I have some in hand here, that they've made their way into golf finally. How exciting is this for you, and how long was a project to get Ultra Boost into a golf shoe?
It's very exciting. I think we're always proud of the fact that we're part of a global brand that has so many amazing products and technologies. And I think bringing Ultra Boost to golf is a great example of taking something that's so iconic. It's almost a decade old now, believe it or not, from when it was launched from the brand. But to be able to have access to it and bring it to golf, but also to tweak it a little bit so it still looks like the OG that everyone wants, but to add some performance is really, really cool. And, a few years back, we were kind of more limited in what we could bring into golf from the brand. And I think the growth of golf and the excitement that the golf universe has created the last couple of years has allowed us more access to some of the really cool stuff. So this is a fun time to be in golf. It feels like everyone wants to work with golf brands.
I can remember, I guess, what was it, 2015 or 16 when Boost came to Adidas golf footwear? Is that fair to say? Is that about that time frame?
2013 Energy Boost, the first one, the black yellow one, launched, if you remember that colorway. That was a running specific shoe. Yeah, it was 2013, and a couple years later, Ultra Boost came in.
And can you kind of compare the anticipation of then being able to do that, bring in Boost originally versus Ultra Boost now? I mean, is it a similar feeling in terms of, hey, we've got something really new to play with here, even though I know Boost and Ultra Boost aren't dramatically different, but...
Yeah. Well, Boost as a technology was a big moment, I would say. I've been in footwear almost 20 years now. I'm dating myself. But when we first brought Boost, the pellet technology, into golf footwear in 2015, that was just a game changer for us. But we had to fight tooth and nail to get that. There wasn't enough pellets back then. So every category wanted to bring Boost midsoles in. And golf was over here, a small little category, saying, hey, don't forget about us. And, we really had to kick and scream and use all of our relationship leveraging, and we were able to get it. So, yeah, Boost as a technology coming in for the first time was big. But Ultra Boost, to me, was almost a different situation where it's something that had been out in the brand as an iconic silhouette, not just a technology. And for us to bring an iconic silhouette that is very coveted and protected in the company, to be able to have access to use that in golf is really special, because you don't see Ultra Boost in other categories, right? You don't see it in, as a basketball shoe, or like, it doesn't get extended into other sports because most people cannot do that. They won't allow you. So we're one of the few categories that's been allowed to kind of bring it in and use it.
How does that authorization happen? I mean, do you kind of go to the brand, the kind of more umbrella level and say, hey, we want to do this? Or is it a multi-year process of proposal after proposal? I mean, how bureaucratic is it versus just, hey, we've got a great idea, can we get the green light?
It's shifted over the years. So it's gone from us showing up as the golf crew on our hands and knees, trying to have someone open the door and listen to us about 10 years ago. Again, I'm joking a little bit, but we're part of such a big brand in golf, sitting in Carlsbad away from the headquarter campus in Germany, right? And some people not knowing about our business, there wasn't always a lot of openness to us doing things like this. I would say in the last 3 years, due to building relationships over time, due to the success we've had as a division for the company, we've been allowed more readily available access to some of the great stuff that they're working on. So, It's still something where we have to say, hey, we're interested in this. This is why we think it's important. This is why we want to do it. There has to be a good business case. But we've proven that we can do it right. And shoes like Stan Smith and Samba and some of the other ones we've done, We've sold out of very quickly. They perform great. People love them. So I think the brand is seeing how golf can extend some of these iconic shoes to a different consumer in a different sport.
I mean, so far I've kind of asked about top-down nature of things, but is there golf-up nature of things, things that you guys have taken from your footwear and research and development and that's being used more broadly? What's that kind of look like?
Yeah, that's a good, really good question. It doesn't happen quite as commonly, but I would say, again, the last 3 to 5 years, because there's been more eyes on golf as a business unit, we definitely had things go outward to other business units. So technologies that we might develop here, 360 wrap, some of the waterproofing technologies that we've done, I would say BOA, the way we incorporate the BOA technology. So proud of the fact that we feel like we're the most innovative brand and how we work with BOA and incorporate that. And Outdoor is an example. They use BOA technology. So they called us and were like, hey, we saw this shoe with BOA. How did you incorporate it that way? Who did you work with? So again, just our success has brought a little bit more people asking questions. And it's really nice to actually open an email, because we've always asked so many other people for things. It's nice when someone's coming to you and going, how did you do this? Can we use that? Can we, you know, and it's like, yes, someone wants something from us. It's like living on a farm and a car finally pulls up, right? And you're happy to see someone.
And BOA has always raved about you guys and your relationship with them and how willing you are to try new things, how willing you are to make BOA a key part of the shoe, not just an add-on for cost purposes or for look purposes. But how has that relationship evolved over we've talked about some personally, but over the last 4 or 5 years, maybe even longer than that, because you guys have been working with BOA, I feel like 15 years at this point, and maybe that's too long, but it feels like that relationship has been very solid for a long time.
Very solid. It's been a decade, actually, and I can remember Eric Weiss, who's the VP now of commercial for BOA, a good friend of mine and an amazing person. He walked in here 10 years ago, and I remember he had like a little duffel bag or a suitcase full of like parts and stuff, and he was like the BOA salesman. He was like, hey guys, look, we can do whatever, and we were tinkering, and it was the early days, and there was a lot of ideation going on. It was definitely looser back then because we didn't know what we wanted to do. We were just a bunch of creative people that got together. But now BOA's grown to the point where they're a much more well-oiled machine. What we appreciate about BOA is, as a company, they don't want to be a lace replacement. They want their system to be incorporated in a way that provides additional advantages that a simple lace construction can't. And as a company, we want to be the most progressive golf brand in the world. We want to have the best performing footwear in the world. So when those two mindsets come together, you can create really special things. And so, again, when we tackle a BOA project, we're looking at how we can use their system in the most innovative way possible to bring higher performance to whatever that model is. And not everyone loves the idea of BOA. Some people don't like the look of it. It does stick off of the shoe. But when people try BOA for the first time in a shoe where it's done right, that fit that you feel on your foot is something you've never felt before. And sometimes people are hooked from then on.
And I feel like as golf has kind of figured out a bigger focus, and you guys have always been focused well on stability, but it feels like there's an even bigger focus on stability more broadly in the golf shoe world than there was 10 years ago. More of an emphasis on spike stability as well. So you guys have already kind of had a little bit of a head start working with BOA and obviously your internal teams on making sure that stability is at the forefront of everything that you're doing.
We do, and you know, it's funny that the trends have shifted, though. I would say, go back 10 years, most shoes were still really stiff, right?
Yeah.
They were still, like, even performance shoes like the 2 or 360s were low to the ground, single-piece TPUs. If you picked them up now, they feel pretty rigid, really locked you in over the ball, but people wore them to the course, and that was it. They took them off, and then they wore something else home. We've now gotten to the point, and you're very well aware of this, where people want a shoe to be everything now. They want to wear it all day long, whether it's a spike sometimes or a spikeless. And so spikeless has in some ways put pressure on spike shoes to be even more comfortable.
Yeah.
Because once you've worn a spikeless, you're like, wow, that's really comfortable. You don't want to go back to a heavy anchor, necessarily competition shoe. So we really had to kind of approach all of our shoes differently and raise our game, because the new consumer seems to want everything from their footwear.
And to that end, I feel like Ultra Boost adds another component, another option to that as you guys bring that into golf, because obviously it's incredibly comfortable. Were there challenges in making a transition from using Boost in a shoe to Ultra Boost, and what are those kinds of challenges, if anything?
There wasn't challenging from the Boost, because this is actually a one-to-one remake of, so the midsole that you see here that we're using for the golf shoe is the exact same Boost part that came out almost a decade ago. So it's iconic. People love the look of it. It's still pretty low profile. What I really love about it is it's thinner in the forefoot than some of the current Boost constructions, which are amazing, but they can feel thicker, even some of the running shoes. This iconic midsole, one of the first ones I did, they kept it really low. And in golf, when you're lower to the ground, you feel a little bit more stable with your footwork. I think the challenge for us was, how do we keep the iconic design, but add a few things that give the golfer a little bit more performance than if they just bought the Ultra Boost off the shelf that wasn't made for golf?
And what are those additions that you bring into it from a golf perspective?
Yeah, it's hard to see, but subtly you'll see that we brought in details like this croc leather on this material. Almost a cue to golf by adding a croc texture to say, hey, we're a little bit richer and premium in our category, right? But the biggest things are hydrophobic yarns. So if you pour water on this yarn, it beads off like a duck's back. So we added a hydrophobic treatment. So it's not a fully waterproof shoe, but it's much more water resistant in morning dew than you would see from a standard Ultra Boost. We've also added a toe reinforcement, and on the inside, we added a film around the toe area, so it stretches less than an Ultra Boost, so it's got a little bit more stability, albeit it's still a very flexible, comfortable shoe.
Assume the next natural step, because you guys are thinking way ahead of when we're talking, but the next step is to bring this to a spiked level shoe, whether that's ZG, whether that's Tour 3, whichever model, brand, what a platform you want to use. Obviously, you guys have I'm assuming that you guys have already kind of started that work. Is there any difference in going to a spiked version than a spike less version or a nub version of a golf shoe using Ultra Boost?
Yeah, so I can't tell you about our plans specifically for Ultra Boost, because that's obviously under embargo, so to speak. But yes, if we ever took any shoe and did a spiked version of it, inherently the mindset goes more to that's a higher performing product. Because when you add spikes on the bottom, it's going to grip even a little bit better. It's going to have a little bit more penetration. It does open it up to be worn by tour pros who require spiked outsoles. And so what we would likely do is potentially change the upper material to a leather-like material, something like that. Make it feel a little bit more stable overall. So we would certainly look at ramping up performance. Right now, the way we brought Ultra Boost in, it sits in our versatile range. We understand that this is for someone who wants to have a rain shoe or plays when it's nice out. Comfort is king. They walk all the time and they want a second pair of shoes next to their spiked winter shoe. It's probably not going to be anyone's only golf shoe, but for casual wear, versatile wear, par threes, range, nice weather wear, I would argue it's going to be hard to find anything more comfortable. And you can wear this to go golf, and then you're going to do errands on the way home, and you're going to look cool wherever you are. You're not going to look like you got a golf outfit on, right? It's like that just blends into any environment. So
it's interesting you brought up the walking piece of that, maybe having a walking shoe versus a cart shoe or a slog shoe, kind of like if the weather's particularly bad, for example. It does seem like a lot more people have come back to walking in the last few years of golf. Have you guys seen that? Have you seen that in response to the footwear that you guys make?
Absolutely. Really good point and call out there. I think it seems like everything got supercharged during COVID, the amount of people playing and rounds and interest in golf. But I think it was one of the only things you could do to be active, because if you were a gym member normally, or you played basketball, like all that stuff stopped for a while because contact sports, you didn't want to be close to one another. And so a lot of people took up golf for just an activity. And, if you walk a course, that can easily be 4, 5, 6 miles. And we know you're on your feet a lot. So I think people started to require more comfort. It's always been important, but I feel like it became even more important. We have specific shoes like Solar Motion, for instance, that are engineered for the walking golfer. Like the whole story of the shoe is to, like, you can walk 18, 36 holes and feel refreshed. I think UltraBoost is a good example of something you can walk all day in. And yes, we've seen a huge uptick and an increase in, I would say, spiked footwear or spikeless footwear demand and demand for product that is ultra comfortable and that can be worn not only on the golf course, but in other areas as well.
And then I want to wrap up on this because I think it's always important to kind of bring this up with you guys because you do a great job with this at Adi, and that is having footwear that is designed with materials that are designed to reduce plastic waste or eventually trying to get eliminated entirely from product lines. How has that evolved over the last couple of years? I mean, you have done so many different and varied things. Where are you guys in terms of the progress that you hope to achieve in the long haul and your goals that you guys have kind of stated for using recycled materials throughout footwear?
Yeah, really good question. I think it's something that's one of the top things at the core of our company and who we are. We don't do it for a marketing story. We're going on almost a decade now of speaking about this being one of the top three things that this company wants to stand for. And ending plastic waste was a big initiative. It's something that changed how we created product, the materials we allow to come into our product, packaging, really from the starting point of creation all the way through to the consumer. What's really interesting now is it feels like the industry has become more normalized to that. Like most brands are doing some form of more recycled material, which is great. We were kind of on the forefront of that. That's fine. We're not selfish in this pursuit. We want everyone to care more about the planet. What we've really moved into is more carbon now. So yes, recycled material, reducing plastic, ending plastic. We're not using any virgin plastic anymore at all. So we've already really checked some of these boxes. We want to be carbon neutral as a company at some point. And I think we're looking at the carbon footprint rating of a lot of our shoes now going forward. And I think you'll see some of that come into the storytelling and things that are just beyond recycled materials and ending plastic, which are important, but we feel like we've got a good groundwork to solve those. We're actually looking a little bit deeper now into some more exploratory areas.
That's really exciting, and hopefully we'll hear more about that in the coming weeks, months, years, and always very exciting to hear that. Thank you for taking time to talk to us, Mason. It's really cool. Congrats on everything with the Ultra Boost, and we'll throw in the ZG23s as well. They're great too. We maybe caught you a little late on that, but another great year for you guys and hopefully more to come.
Yeah, thanks, Ryan. Always appreciate it. Another exciting year for golf. So can't wait for the next major. Masters was awesome. So more to come.